They're just words. You ever heard anyone say that? Just words. They don't really know what they're talking about, right? Think about a word that you dread to hear. Maybe that word is taxes. I don't know, it seems pretty fitting in this time of year. Maybe it's a more serious word. Stupid. Lazy. Short. Fat. Cancer. Words convey much. They're packed with meaning, and they carry the freight of emotion and intention. And the weight of words can bring hurt, and they can bring help. They can bring trouble. They can bring triumph. When words are strung together to form a sentence, then they have the ability to change the world. And there's one sentence from our second reading that Faye read for us this evening that certainly does change the world. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. On this day, this Good Friday, I want to consider five words, these five words that make all the difference for Jesus, and the same five words make all the difference for us. Five words that have the ability to bring to our ears both mortifying horror and unbridled joy. And the five words are these: while we were still sinners. The content of these five words is what nailed Jesus to the cross. People often mistakenly think that it was the decree of Pontius Pilate that sent Jesus to the cross. But it wasn't that. Or they think it was the shout of the crowd, "Crucify him." But it wasn't that. They think it was the plotting of the Jewish leaders. Not that. Not even the Roman hammer on the Roman nail spikes. These things all played a part, yes, but they were not what sent Jesus to the cross. What sent Jesus to the cross and ultimately killed him was sin. The sin of humanity. My sin and yours. While we were yet sinners. These five words then in us, they unleash a kind of horror if we look at them carefully and honestly. When we realize and we recognize that it's our sin that sent Jesus to the cross. Our sin that nailed him there and killed him. And yet, without that, the depth of that pain, both in Christ and in us, there couldn't be joy that comes from the four words that followed. Christ died for us. We've been following along through this Lenten season some words from Martin Luther's own Lenten and Holy Week sermons from 1534. This comes from his fourth sermon for Holy Week. In his great suffering, Luther says, his greatest suffering, torment and disgrace, Jesus appears not to see or feel anything. His only concern, and all that he sees and cares for, is your and my misery, our anguish, and great distress. Could there be greater, more fervent love than that? See, the love of Jesus is so selfless and so sacrificial that it's hard for us to put it in words. But these words of Luther go right to the point. We are more valuable to Jesus than his own life. I'll say that again. We are more valuable to Jesus than his own life. And so words, which are powerful enough when we, mere humans, say them, they become weighted with unparalleled meaning when they come out of the mouth of the Word made flesh. And as he was dying on the cross, Jesus spoke words that had a blatant disregard for his own being. and his laser-like focus instead on our eternal benefit. We heard this, and I'll read it again. He said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." From the cross, as he was dying, he was thinking of them, not him. Those words echoed through time all the way down to us to deliver what they say, because those words were accompanied by blood flowing from his hands and feet, and they were filled with forgiveness. And so tonight we're standing on this word. We're standing on the word forgiveness. It's what we need most. It's what we must acknowledge, because we have to understand. I don't have it on the screen, but you heard it in our Old Testament reading tonight. Isaiah said simply, we, like sheep, have all gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. That means that when we go away from the shepherd, when we go on our own way, when we follow our own wishes and whims and desires, the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, are not pleasing in God's sight, and we are guilty. And because of our sinful nature, we find ourselves in all kinds of trouble, some brought on by ourselves, some brought on by others, some brought on by guilt of the past, some brought on by the hurt of the present, and some brought on by the fear of the future. All that sin, when it comes to us, and I need you to think for a moment, you in your own self, when you are suffering from your own sin or from the hurt of another's sin, and you are in pain and you are in disgrace, who are you thinking of? Me. You're thinking of yourself. It's almost impossible for us to focus on anyone but ourselves and to think about anything other than our own well-being, but not Jesus. Throughout the course of his entire ministry, Jesus was thinking of you. As he made his way throughout all of his ministry toward Jerusalem, toward the cross, toward your salvation, he showed concern for you. Even while he was undergoing the torment of the cross, his focus was on you. All throughout his ministry, you could hear him say things like this: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says to us, "Do not be afraid," in other places. He's talking to you. He says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I will be with you always to the end of the age. Truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" And so, in order to make all of these words, all of these promises for you come certainly true in our catechism, this is most certainly true, Jesus needed to utter three final words that Good Friday as he commended his spirit into his Father's hands and he gave up his life for you. He said, "It is finished." And with those words, everything necessary for your salvation is filled full. It's finished. It's complete. Sins forgiven. Death, debt paid. Death conquered. Life made new. Can you think of any better words to hear? I asked you earlier what words you might dread to hear. And I gave you a few, and I know you have your own. Maybe think instead, consider the words that you need to hear. Not the words you dread to hear, but the word you need to hear. Maybe instead of stupid, you need to hear loved. Instead of lazy, you need to hear valued. Instead of short or fat, you need to hear made in the image of God. Instead of cancer, you need to hear healed. I don't know what your words are, but I know they all are answered in this. It is finished. And they're answered in this. While we were yet sinners. I love this about our faith. God doesn't wait for you to get it right. He makes it right for you. Christ went to the cross and died for us while we were still sinning against him, while we were still rejecting his love and spurning his grace. Who does this? No one except Jesus. It's hard enough to love someone who's loving you back. But to love an unlovable sinner, even to die for them? No. In that we see the very nature and the very heart of God. And it goes against our nature so much that I have to tell you, this is one of those things that reminds me that the Bible is God's word and not man's. Because man can hardly receive this kind of love, let alone conceive it. No, this is so foreign to us that it needs to be revealed to us. We need to hear Jesus say, "It is finished." And we need to hear the word of God tell us, "You are forgiven." And even so, even with such clear utterances, we still doubt. And we still struggle. And we still, what happens is our conscience gets plagued because we remember our imperfection. We remember our sin. We remember our wrongdoing. And then we wonder, am I really, really forgiven? It can't be. Friends, that's when you need to remember how powerful words are when they're spoken by the Almighty God. Think of the power of the Word of God in the first few verses of the Bible. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be." And there was. The immensity of this universe that we are in, all of the darkness, all of the emptiness, could not stop the Word of God from creating what God declared. This is the declarative power of the Word of God. Do you ever remember your parents telling you simply, "Because I said so"? That meant end of discussion. I'm the parent, you're not, that settles it. When God says, and I don't mean to make this trite, but it is that simple. When God says, "You are forgiven," end of discussion. That settles it. That same power that spoke the universe into existence, that declared in the beginning, was the Word. That Word said, "Let there be." The Word declared that, and it happened. And that Word, that same Word, declares you forgiven. It settles it. You cannot stop it. When Jesus says, "It is finished," he's saying, "I am God, you are not." And the way that you feel doesn't really matter at that moment. It doesn't matter whether you still feel like a scoundrel. You might be. You're forgiven. It doesn't matter if you feel deserving. You are not. You're forgiven. It doesn't matter if you feel forgiven. You are. Because God says, you are. You cannot stop his word from accomplishing the purposes he set it out to do. Is this making sense? I want you to remember that, because in a moment we're going to follow the journey of Jesus to the cross, stage by stage, step by step, and then we're going to hear his final words from the cross during our Tenebrae service. As it gets darker and darker. And throughout the rest of the service, I want you to hold that strip of cloth if you can, or at least be thinking of it. And on it, I want you to put all the words of sin and shame, All those words of fear that come to your mind, all those words that you dread, put them here. And then when you bring it to the cross, I want you to bring all of those words of condemnation, and I want you to walk away with only one word. Can you guess it? Forgiven. It's the only word you need when you leave this strip of sins on the cross. You can do that. You can leave it there because Jesus says so. He says it is finished. And the love of Jesus overshadows any words of guilt or shame you might feel, because even while you were sinning, Christ died for you. Amen.